Okay, we have like about 1 hour to talk about, and apparently we have some sabotage interference, and yeah, we need interference cancellation, something like that. Next time I come with an algorithm. Okay, that's the talk that I'm giving to you today is basically about wireless local area networks and more fashionable name for wireless local area networks could be wideband wireless networks, or local wideband wireless networks. What I'm trying to do is first I'm going to talk about applications and the market, because most of these technologies which are currently evolving under telecommunication industry heavily rely on the type of application rather than technology. I think the period of technology for telecommunication industry was perhaps in 70s, 60s, up to 80s, but 90s is the application really. We have a bunch of off-the-shelf technologies available and we have to repackage them. This is very similar to like turn of the century in 1900s. It was very similar to that. We had a bunch of technologies, a lot of entrepreneurs, they were just popping in and just packaging them in variety of forms. So for that reason, to my opinion, for anybody who is involved in telecommunication industry, in particular, either research or any sort of activity, familiarity with the applications and the market is one of the essentials. The second thing, to make everything look more realistic. So I will go over the applications, which I will tell you what different people think about wideband local access, what type of markets they have in their minds. The second thing that we will do is we will talk about existing technologies and their limitations, and then a little bit about evolving standards in that line and the status of these standards and the differences among these standards, and then a quick overview of the global activities in wideband local communications. And then at the end I will talk about some of the research projects, actually the ones that we are doing in our laboratory, and I go to our website and we take it from there. The text of this lecture is available also on the web, so I will show you the address at the end. Now, the first issue is like the current wireless information network industry. I think this is my favorite slide. I have used it more than a million times, but the current, in fact, wireless information network industry can be divided safely with data services and voice services. Data services, again, is divided in cellular and personal communication services, while the data, in fact, industry is divided into mobile data services and wireless LANs. Mobile data services are lower speed. I mean, they used to be up to 19.2, but these days they are shooting up to like 100 kilobit per second. LAN industry starts from 1 megabit per second and up. So this is where we are, I think, one division. But this division belongs to the so-called second generation wireless networks. The third generation wireless networks are intending to combine all the services in one unit. Okay, so this is more or less current, existing. Now, what is in this industry? So among the four sectors or four general application, which one of them is the digital, is a cellular to be used inside the car. The other one is PCS, mainly designed for in and around the houses. These days you cannot draw a line between the two. And then you go for data communication. You have mobile data services, which are basically for a laptop to go all over the places. And then wireless LAN services, which are new services, which are evolving, perhaps, I think, around many different things that I will try to explain those things later on. But generally, the word wireless LAN and the definition, if you want to make for a wireless LAN, this is the most general definition. Wireless LAN is a network with like 1 megabit at least data rate, and 1 megabit data rate is according to the 802 standards. IEEE 802 standard does not accept anything as a local area network if the data rate is below 1 megabit per second. Then it's designed for 100 meter at least, I mean coverage. 100 meter again is coming from the 802 activities in local area networks for twisted pair. These days, the length is 100 meter. So for the wire as well as wireless, you can safely define 100 meter for the operation. Should interoperate with wired LANs, which means that it's not only a modem, it's a device which can communicate and has protocols in it. Does not need large investment on infrastructure and does not collect service charges. And then the transmission technologies which are available for wireless LANs are a spread spectrum, a standard radio, and infrared. Examples of products, Roamabout, Waveland, Photonics, Freeport, and example of a standard activities, 802.11, HyperLAN, and perhaps wireless ATM. Now, to start this thing, so this is the general definition of a wireless LAN. Necessarily, it's not wireless, wideband wireless local access. In a bigger, in fact, context, if you look into wideband wireless local access, basically, most probably, you're talking about wireless LANs and wireless ATM. That's one way to talk about them. But anyhow, there are three activities, in fact, or three visions about wireless LANs or wideband wireless local access. One is the existing, in fact, view and vision of the wireless LAN industry. They have their own perception, and based on that perception, they are developing products. And they have certain applications in their mind for that. There is another vision for wideband local access, which is evolving. That's the vision of the military. And the third one is a vision for the so-called service providers. Service providers, traditionally, they were looking down at the data because they thought that there's not much of income in there. But as they go from the second generation to third generation, everybody includes wideband, in fact, local access into any sort of services that will be provided in the future. The reason for that is that up to now, perhaps we had two industries, data, which was initiated, packet data services, which was initiated by the computer industry, and then we had the voice-oriented networks, which were initiated by the telecom industry. As the multimedia services are emerging, these two industries are emerging to one another. So the telephone companies, which are traditional service providers, they are thinking about wideband applications and any sort of data application. Okay, but they have their own view of the wireless LANs or wideband local access, which is different from the view of this. This is the view of the computer communication industry. This is the view of telecom industry toward wideband local access. The one which is reality, I mean the one which has products and available products, are computer communication industry or wireless LANs. The vision of the people in wireless LAN is around these applications. Wireless LANs originally came to market in early 90s based on the so-called LAN extension application. which means that I come to a room like this, I have only one perhaps access to internet, and then I have like hundreds of terminals in here. I want to extend my LAN, which is wired LAN, to these wireless LANs, to these terminals which are sitting around. This application is called LAN extension, and that was the initiation of the wireless LAN industry. All the products which were developed for wireless LAN were like boxes designed for this type of, in fact, application. However, these applications, they never sold. They never met even closely with market predictions. According to market predictions, in like early 90s, late 80s, by today we were supposed to have like several billions of dollars of industry for LAN extension. And actually it doesn't have any, in fact, market. LAN extension is very limited. Then what happened was these people who were designing these LAN extensions, which are shoe boxes, okay, they started to change their perception. They had the technology, they changed it in two directions. One direction was going to the so-called inter-LAN bridges, which means you take the same box with the antenna, make the antenna directional, and call it a different name, and name it inter-LAN bridge. Okay, and then these inter-LAN bridges, they find a very good market, a relatively good market, and people started to buy them, and a lot of companies who had spent a lot of money to design these things are surviving today based on this application. The other one was that some of the people like Wavelanders, that they had a smaller designs, they condensed that to PCMCIA cards, and they shoot for another market, which is the laptop market. Now, why this phenomenon happened? The reason is that the idea of wireless LANs came in mid-80s, and at that time, local area network had a very, very major difficulty in wiring. And then wireless seemed to be a very good option to go from wire to wireless. But in early 90s, they find the twisted pair to be a better solution than anything else to replace the wiring of the local area networks. So one of the reasons that this wireless LAN option did not pick up was that there are other reasons that I have it in my other publications. But anyhow, for the time being today, we have like LAN extension to mobile services, and then we have inter-LAN bridges, and then there are groups of people who are working on portable access. In particular, like IBM is involved in that, that you have your laptop, you go next to your printer, you want to print it in there. So you have a wireless access. So most of these laptops these days, they have infrared, in fact, transmitter receivers just for the local access. So this type of local access or portable access or nomadic access is another application that local area network industry is looking into it. There is another application that local area network industry is very, very fond of that. That application is the so-called ad hoc networking. Ad hoc networking is that you have like several people coming to a place and they want to communicate with one another. Each of them, they have laptops, and this is their temporary local network. Here, you need those PCMCIA cards, and people who were able to reduce the size of their, in fact, LANs to PCMCIA cards are in this business. Today, the most successful is perhaps WaveLAN. Then the next, in fact, version of LANs, or the LAN industry, in fact, wireless LAN industry, the next market that they have in their mind is the so-called campus area network. Campus area network is an area like this. This is the one that we have in our university. You have several buildings and you want to connect them with a wireless LAN to support the students with laptops. Carnegie Mellon has one of them, Berkeley has one of them now. We have like a so-called test bed. Ours is a little bit different from the others because we use it for test measurements of the performance of a variety of things. Wireless LAN industry sees this thing, this type of application, perhaps as the future of wireless local area network industry. The difference between this thing and LAN extension and others is that this one you have to sell a whole network for a university. So based on a whole network for a university, you can have enough income to survive. But LAN extension, one by one, does not generate enough income for the industry to continue. So this was the view of let's say, local area network industry toward wireless. This year, the market was like between $200 to $300 million. All of that market belonged to what I told you so far. On the other hand, there is another region, as I told you, and that's the region of the military. Military does not make, in fact, money, but generates technologies. Internet was developed by DARPA, and they are sponsoring other, in fact, projects which are in the line of developing lands. Projects of this sort are very typical these days with DARPA, which is the Department of Defense research arm in the United States. One of the projects is the so-called fusion of computer and communication. It's going on at University of California, Berkeley. Actually, it was going on in the past few years. And the general setup of this type of project is that you have a backbone computers, a lot of, in fact, number crunching and data access and communication facilities. And then you have people which are walking around with notepads and they want to communicate and take advantage of the cloud, computer cloud. And then what one of the sites for this type of application is site of a ship, for example, or inside of a submarine or something like that. Okay, so a soldier is walking inside a ship, and you have a lot of computers for navigations, other information resources he can access from there. So there's an unbalanced, in fact, communication between the two. Very low speed upstairs, very high speed downstairs, and the terminals which are in there has to be very small so that they can comfortably carry that. They have to operate also with the batteries. So this is like a technology which Department of Defense is, in fact, supporting. There are other, in fact, things, other projects they have, like the so-called BodyLand. BodyLand is like for applications in which you have soldiers, and the soldier is carrying a unit, an information unit with himself. And he can communicate with other guys close by and also the center and through the center to the rest of the world. So in this type of scenarios, one of them is BodyLand, which is right now going on at BBN. BBN is the inventor of internet. And you have just like camera, a small camera in front, and you have like earphone, and you have all other, you know, battery and other things. Number crunching facilities, etc. So you have on your belt, you have something, you have a hood, you have a, you have some sort of screen in front of you, then you can talk and what. And what you do, what type of information you have, BodyLand, which is one of the projects under GLOMO, is just talking about the health of the soldier is reported in here. So they have monitors, sensors, to get the temperature, whatever, heartbeat, etc. And they report it back, and at the same time, when he wants to see the places, they will just inform him. And another, in fact, project in this line of operation, which is evolving, is the SOSAS project, which is a small unit operation and situation awareness systems. This type of thing, very similar to the other one. The other one was GLOMO, this is SOSAS. The scenario is like an urban area. Inside the urban area, they think that they have urban fighting, they have soldiers inside the buildings, and they are communicating with one another. And then these soldiers, they need to have situation awareness. Situation awareness means that you have to know where you are, and if an enemy or whatever is approaching, they want to inform you. So you have a bunch of information coming down from the entire information infrastructure to the soldier, or they call it war fighter, to inform them about what is going on all around. So these are very typical, and actually I think this SOSAS is like $25 million project. GLOMO is around the same size. So just DARPA alone is spending at least $50 million in projects, while the market for, as I told you, is $200 million worldwide. And mainly that market is in the United States. But anyhow, this was the view of military. So view of military is like you go into the small units and every soldier is carrying the wireless LAN to communicate with the rest of the world. Then there is a third fact view. The third view, as I told you, is the view of the service providers. Service providers always look into service scenarios. The difference between a service provider and product developer is that service provider is used to monthly payments, and they don't move for a small dollars. They always move with big chunks of dollars. They were not thinking about, in fact, wireless data in the past as much as we are doing today. And what they are thinking about is there is three scenarios actually. Scenario number one is the workplace scenario, which is more or less the same wireless LAN scenario. So you are sitting inside a local area network, and then you want to take advantage of legacy LANs services with wireless access. So most of the legacy LANs are using TCP/IP applications, and more or less you're talking about wireless LANs, but this time provided by service provider. The second impact market that you're thinking about is the home. In the home, we are talking about universal access points, which provides you wireless access to internet, to cordless telephones, flexible speakers, and variety of application on that type. So this is the second, in fact, market that you're thinking about. The third market that you're thinking about is a so-called nomadic public access, which means that you have a backbone, unknown, and then somebody goes in the airport and they wants to open up his laptop and access to internet. So this is a public access. So most of the airports in the Europe, at least, they are nodes for international travels. Usually you stay there several hours. So people in that market, they envision that they are going to have, like these people, 4 or 5 hours a stay, they use their internet connections there. But anyhow, this is service scenario. This type of vision has never been developed, has not been developed yet. This is a vision of the future for the service providers. That's the incentive for service providers to get into it. The only products and markets which have been sold are wireless LANs, which was the first vision that I sold you. This one, I took it from a lecture, and I use it so often. This is the one that I took it from a lecture by the president of one of these small wireless LAN companies around 1991-92. This, I took it off from his lecture. At that time, I mean, twisted pair was taking over the coaxial cable, and then people were thinking about the wireless to merge at 1996 to take like 10 to 15% of the market of wireless LANs. Of the LANs. LANs market this year was around, let's say, $100 billion, something in that order. 10 to 15% of that is $10 to $15 billion. So this was the expectation of the manufacturers of the wireless LANs in 1996. But which really happened, as I told you, was $200 million. And so, very, very off prediction of the market. The second prediction that they had is something like that. The same person in another lecture, maybe 4 years later, he gave this thing now. This is like 1992, 3, 4, these are realities. 5 almost realities, 6 are like predictions. They were expecting something like around 1 million units sale for the year 1996. Okay, this is much more modest than the one that they were predicting before. However, it's true that wireless LAN industry did not meet the predictions of the market. Wireless LANs had, at the year 1996, wireless LANs, they had one of their hottest years in terms of technology in 1996. Because in that year, new technology, wireless ATM came to the market with service provided, extremely interested in that. And at the same time, military initiated several, in fact, projects. So wireless LANs, though they didn't meet the market predictions, they came to be very hot during the last year, as we will see in the following text. Existing wireless LAN technologies are 5 of them, and One is diffused infrared, one is directed beam infrared, radio frequency, direct sequence spread spectrum, frequency hopping spread spectrum. Direct sequence and frequency hopping spread spectrum are, and possibly diffused infrared, are part of 802.11. Radio frequency is part of the so-called hyperland, and directed beam infrareds are used for point-to-point communication, mostly without any standard. This is one modest table of existing products. You have a better one available at Carleton Universities. They have a very good updated version of all the companies and their products in their website. And you can link to that through my website or directly. But anyhow, this is like some of the most popular local area networks which are selling today. Apparently, the most important thing is the technology. The dominant technology is direct frequency spread spectrum and frequency hopping spread spectrum, which are standardized by 802.11. The issue is that, the question is that, is local area networks direct sequence and frequency hopping spread spectrum the best technology for local area networks? The answer is no, not necessarily. This is of one of our papers, which is one of the references in here, was published in last year in JSAC, IEEE JSAC. And this compares, in fact, the spread spectrum technology and other technologies like decision feedback equalization, sectored antenna, multi-carrier modulation. And summary of this thing is that if you take a small area, how much power do you need to cover if you have like 10 megahertz of bandwidth? In here, this is a data rate that you can support with different technologies. These are the technologies. And then in the second one, you are going to have like infinite amount of bandwidth, but limitation in power. How much, in fact, is the maximum data rate that you can achieve? When you come to the power side, a spread spectrum technology needs the minimum power to cover an area. However, the data rate that they provide is the lowest among everything. For the data communication community, data rate often happens to be more important than coverage, but not necessarily all the time. When it comes to maximum data rate that you can support, any of the non-spread spectrum technologies, which is multi-carrier modulation, decision feedback equalization, or sectored antenna, all of them can provide much higher data rates. Of course, the highest data rate can be achieved with multi-carrier modulation, and within, this is like a seven-room environment, and we have run some ray tracing to develop these results. Like, highest data rates in almost an order of magnitude, 82 megahertz gives you like 80 megabit per second using multi-carrier modulations. But anyhow, the bottom line is that do direct sequence and frequency hopping spread spectrum are the most popular wireless LAN technologies available. There are other technologies which are evolving around. But when, where, how? The most important issue is the frequency, availability of the bandwidth. For the local area networks, you're talking about very wide areas, very wide bands, and because you have very high data rates. And these wide bands are very expensive. In the United States, they have sold like 100 megahertz of band for like $20 billion. And local area network industry, after 10 years, is making $200 million. So there is no way to get these bands unless you go to a solution. Solution is the so-called unlicensed bands. Unlicensed bands happen to be the most popular. And it happens that the first unlicensed band which appeared in North America was the so-called ISM band, which were released in 1985. However, ISM bands are associated to a spread spectrum technology. So every product that we have today in the market is a spread spectrum technology because they operate in ISM bands, not because a spread spectrum technology is the best available technology for wireless LANs. Now, there are other bands, other unlicensed bands, which are evolving, and the future of the wireless LAN industry depends on that evolution of unlicensed bands. And we will talk about those unlicensed bands a little bit later. Today, in wideband wireless activities, we have two sets of, in fact, we can divide them in two categories. One is evolving standard technologies, 802.11, HyperLAN, and wireless ATM forum. And then we have international activities, which means the general trend of technology. In the United States, WIN Forum is working on PCS bands and UNII, only get more bands. Okay? In EC, under ACTS, they have several wideband wireless access projects. Some of them are using wireless ATM, some of them others. They are discovering technologies. In Japan, they have, again, a couple of projects that they are sketching the future of wideband access in Japan. The only place which has the market for the time being is in the US. And in the US, again, the most important issue is the issue of availability of unlicensed bands, not development of the technology. In Europe, however, and in Japan, they don't have any market right now. However, they are thinking about developing new technologies. Now, what I do for the rest of the talk, I will go over these three very quickly, and then over these things very quickly. Now, generally, if you want to have a wideband access to a wired backbone, you have like three choices. One choice is that most of the application, data application, are TCP/IP oriented. So you have like three ways. One is you go to TCP/IP stack, and through the, in fact, LAN connections, and this is wireless LAN connection, and then you go to the wired LAN connection in here. The other one is define new applications and take the TCP/IP on top of the ATM stack. This is the second approach. And there is a third approach in which one end is ATM and the other end is TCP/IP applications over legacy LANs. This approach is the one which is used in 802.11 and HyperLAN. This approach is the one which is used in wireless ATM forum. This approach has been used just for implementation of some prototypes at Bell Labs. Now, 802.11 generally talks about two type of infrastructures, two type of, in fact, wireless LAN. One is the so-called ad hoc networks, in which you have a basic service area, and in that basic service area, your LANs can talk with one another. The other one is infrastructure network, in which you have an existing wired LAN backbone, and then you have these basic service areas. But you can talk between the basic service areas, and the entire area is called extended service area or service system. So these are the two types of services, infrastructure-based and ad hoc networks, which are supported by 802.11. Now, 802.11, a standard almost is getting finalized. Technical part is finalized, but it needs approval of ITU, etc. Generally, 802.11, as we talked earlier, is working in ISM band at 2.4 gigahertz. The reason that they picked up 2.4 gigahertz is that at 2.4 gigahertz, you have bands available in Japan, Europe, as well as United States. It supports direct sequence and frequency hopping, and it has options for diffused infrared. That one is not completed yet. Data rates for direct sequence spread spectrum and frequency hopping spread spectrum are 1 and 2 megabit per second, and there are like 5 bands that you can jump just to avoid interference. Then that's for direct sequence. For frequency hopping, you have several patterns that you can go over in order not to interfere with one another. It's supposed to provide interoperability among all the stations. Okay. Now, 802.11 standard, as I said, is completed in a sense that technical part is completed, and products which are based on 802.11 are emerging in the market. So there are 802.11 compatible products available in the market that can be updated as the time passes by. Also, there are chipsets available in the market, which are implementing 802.11. So in terms of technology, 802.11 is a mature technology. The problem with 802.11 is that if you want to go from one area to another area, one basic service, one extended area to another extended area, still it is not resolved. There is another group called YOP. YOP is between Lucent, Aeronet, and DigitalOcean, and the purpose of this group is to provide like wider area coverage with wireless LANs. So you open up your wireless LAN in here, you work with it, then you go to Worcester Polytech, you open it, and still you can work with it. So they are working on that topic. So this is an update on 802.11. What is HyperLAN? HyperLAN started under REST10 in ETSI, which is European Telecommunication Standard Institute. ETSI, very proud of developing GSM, tried to come into the wireless LAN, in fact, in the wireless LAN arena as well. Then this is the general format, perhaps the good feature of the HyperLAN. HyperLAN is like a multi-hop network. So each terminal can be also a bridge to connect you from one basic area to another basic area. In addition to that, HyperLAN have these features. HyperLAN is aiming at data rates up to 23 megabit per second. Frequency operation is like 5 gigahertz. Modulation technique, GSM and decision feedback equalization, GMSK and decision feedback equalization, no spread spectrum. And then minimum coverage like 50 meters, and it's intended to support asynchronous as well as isochronous, both voice and data, which means that there are some provisions of quality of service in there. 802.11 also has a mechanism to support both voice and data, but that mechanism is not yet very popular, but they have provisioned a mechanism for that. This issue is very important, because as we go to the wireless ATM, the only thing that we want to provide is quality of, not the only thing, one of the major things is quality of service. If you have provisions to support voice as well as data, you can implement quality of service. But anyhow, coming back to HyperLAN, how real is HyperLAN? HyperLAN, when they were developing the standard, a couple of companies, they developed a prototype, but nobody developed any product after that. Okay, so there is no HyperLAN product. It's just a de facto standard. I think one of the things, I think the Europeans generally, after success of GSM, got this habit of overly standardizing. They are creating a standard without having any market for that standard. But is it going to be correct for HyperLAN? No. We have to be a little bit more conservative. HyperLAN, it's true that in Europe they have not developed any product, but the UNII bands in the United States are around the same bands, and in those bands there are possibilities that product start to develop based on HyperLAN. This HyperLAN is the so-called HyperLAN 1. HyperLAN also has initiated other, in fact, standards, HyperLAN 2, HyperLAN 3, and these are around wireless ATM technology. So we may see in the future in UNII bands, we may see the wireless, we may see HyperLAN standards to be used for products. But for the time being, it does not exist. Now, the other activity is wireless ATM. Wireless ATM activity was perhaps the hottest activity last year. And it started with the concept of end-to-end connectivity. That's as simple as that. People envision that the future of local, future of the LAN, not LAN, future of the entire infrastructure is ATM switches all over the place, either for the LANs or for the voice. And then they think that, I mean, this is one vision, and that's the vision of the service providers. And they think that ATM switches are going to come to the home, are going to come to the workplace to replace LANs, and they think that it is going to be everywhere all over the world. And then the only little thing which is left is wireless access to that. So if you have wireless access, the so-called wireless ATM, It's beautiful. You have end-to-end connectivity. The idea was so beautiful that it could attract 100 companies last year in Helsinki to just talk about it. And then several prototypes developed by NEC, Lucent, etc., etc., etc. But as the time passed by last year, I think the heat of the wireless ATM came a little bit lower than what it was at the beginning. The reason for that was that there are a lot of technical challenges for the wireless ATM. Actually, I'm editing for IEEE Communication Magazine, a series which is on November of this year, which is about wireless ATM. But anyhow, the basic flaw of wireless ATM, perhaps, is that ATM has been developed for very reliable fiber optic lines, while you have infinite amount of bandwidth. But when you come to the wireless environment, it's not a reliable channel, and on the other hand, the bandwidth is sold for $20 billion for several tens of megahertz. So it's completely different environment. So now you have to readjust your technology. If you readjust your technology, I think the name wireless ATM may not be appropriate. The name wireless access to ATM networks is more appropriate for that. So for that type of, in fact, activities, anyhow, a wireless ATM forum has been formed, and they are working on standards to solve these challenges which faces technologically the concept of wireless ATM. Wireless ATM activities, however, as I told you, is very, very widespread. These are some typical ones. Swan, Bahamas at Lucent, Olivetti has its own, NEC has its own, Vand is under Nokia. So these are the five top, in fact, people who were working on the wireless ATM, in fact, type of environment. Swan, they dropped the Swan last year. Bahamas still exists. So the two projects at Lucent, one of them dropped last year, and now there is one more. And all of these guys have merged under the so-called wireless ATM forum to just implement this type of thing. If you want to compare, I have compare wireless LANs and wireless ATM. Basically, I have a paper in the November issue of Communication Magazine just coming next month, and this table is in there. But bottom line is the type of technology that you're going to use for wireless LANs and wireless ATM more or less should look very, very similar. The only major difference is how you want to provide quality of service, and then what is going to be your MAC services. And these are material that has been is under funding for research for the time being. But it is not as real as it looked at the beginning of last year. So that's overview of a standard. So we have like three standards, 802.11, which is a real standard with products and everything. Then we have HyperLAN, which is a completed standard without any product. And then we have wireless ATM, which is an evolving standard with a lot of technical challenges in front of the committee. So that's about standards, three standards evolving in there. The next issue is that international activities. International activities, as I told you, in the United States, the most important thing is securing unlicensed bands, because bread and butter for wireless LANs or wireless wideband access is unlicensed band. The way that you want to envision what is the difference between licensed and unlicensed band, the easiest example, I was taking that to, I developed that while I was talking with the chief engineer of FCC, Dr. Stanley. And I think that's the best way to describe the unlicensed band and the need for that. Licensed bands means that you want to make a barbecue, and then you have your own backyard. You go there, you open up, and you make up your barbecue. While you're making your barbecue, you create a lot of the smoke. But that's fine. I mean, this is your private property. Now, what if you don't have, you cannot afford a backyard? When you cannot afford a backyard, always public provides you something which we call them public garden. Okay, so you go to the public garden, but now everybody goes to the public garden. And they give you based on availability. You go in and you open up your thing, and when you open up your barbecue, you start to create the smokes. The only thing that government can do is that can restrict or show you some technologies to restrict your smoke so that it's not going to kill other people. Okay, that's now without the unlicensed band for the band hungry wide band access applications. Without public garden, you cannot do anything, and this is experimentally proven. Only unlicensed bands are selling today. Okay, the other one is that now, what can you do in there? If they give you an unlicensed band, originally in FCC, they thought that if they associate a spectrum technology, they provide that protection, which means that they will limit your smoke to go into other people's eyes. That was a wrong perception, because a spread spectrum technology can provide protection if you have power control. In a multi-vendor environment, you cannot have power control. So interference is all over the place. Then what else? The other thing that people started to think about in the States, developed under a forum called Win Forum, which initially started with Apple computers, and then 40 other companies joined them. But anyhow, bottom line of that is they developed the so-called etiquette, or wireless etiquette. The basic or the etiquette that was developed with WinForum is listen before talk, which is a sort of carrier sense multiple access. Then keep your transmission power very limited, restrict your duration of your transmission. So you're sort of policing the sending the packets. If you send packets at 100 megabit per second, you cannot use it more than 1 second. If you are 1 megabit per second, you can use it for 100 seconds. So that's the type of, in fact, the so-called etiquette, idea behind the etiquette. The second thing is that when you want to go to the public garden, first you smell. Is there anybody there? Is there enough space for me to go in? If there is, you go in, and then you restrict it. So this was, they developed, in 1994, while they were auctioning, license bands were very high, in fact, prices. They gave 210 megahertz bandwidth, one for isynchronous, one for asynchronous, data and voice applications, by FCC around 1910 and 1920. And then this in fact, etiquette was developed for that area. WinForum wanted something like 40 megahertz, but they got only 20. And this 20 is not adequate, and it was not adequate. So they pushed for more type of impact bands, WinForum. And then, actually in the last October, we had a workshop in our school, and then after the workshop, in the turn of the year, and Stanley was there, and we had a lot of discussions in there, but I don't know if it had direct effect or not, but 2 months later, FCC released, Stanley actually approved the release of 300 megahertz of bandwidth, but this time at high frequencies, at 5 gigahertz. These are bands which are very similar to hyperland bands, 5 gigahertz type of band. And in these bands, now you can develop variety of technologies, and they may not be a spread spectrum technology at all. But they are, in order to make it marketable, originally it was called SuperNet. But SuperNet was name of another company, challenged them. They changed it to Unlicensed National Information Infrastructure. NII is the, in fact, one of the leading, in fact, buzzwords in the Clinton administration. If you put unlicensed in front of that, you can market this very well. Most probably, that was one of the reasons. But anyhow, these are very, very political, release of the bands. Okay, and they secured like 300 megahertz of bandwidth. And this is the band that was released beginning of this year, and most of the companies are doing research to develop around this, develop new technologies around that in the States. How about in Europe? In the States, the whole fight, in summary, is around, I mean, not the technology, on obtaining bands. And the two bands which are available, one is the PCS bands, which is very negligible, and the other band are the, in fact, UNII bands, which are around 5 gigahertz. But at 5 gigahertz, coverage is very limited. Now, what will happen? God knows. But people are discovering those bands for a variety of technologies, including wireless ATM. However, now that you're talking about unlicensed, in fact, UNII, in fact, bands, again, you need the same type of etiquette. So WinForum went to the UNII group and offered the WinForum etiquette, which was developed for the PCS bands. But this time, FCC did not like it. The reason is that they want also to consider wireless ATM technology as an option for the UNII bands. And if you consider wireless ATM as one of the applications, then that listen before talk type of, in fact, concept cannot work anymore. Because that one does not guarantee anything so that you can develop wireless ATM technology. So for the time being, there is no etiquette for UNII. However, WinForum is working to develop an etiquette which works with wireless ATM as well as other technologies for the UNII, in fact, bands. Now, in Europe, a bunch of projects under ACTS, MEDIAN, WAND, SAMBA, AVACS. Actually, ACTS has a summit meeting next week in Aalborg, Denmark. But these are four projects which are related to wideband local access. Two of them are ATM, and two of them are not ATM, wireless ATM. And basically, these projects are prototype development, research-oriented. In Japan, they have some visions. One of the visions is they are dividing the future onto high-speed wireless access and ultra-high-speed wireless access. 6 to 10 megabit per second, or like 20 megabit per second, and 150 megabit per second. Frequency of operation, several tens of gigahertz. Generally, this is the vision that they see for the future of Japanese, in fact, companies, Japanese, in fact, wideband local access. The problem with this type of vision is that, number one, very high frequencies. I mean, at 60 gigahertz, or 40 or 25 gigahertz, if you're talking about indoor applications, it's very, very limited range. And in the past, wireless LAN industry have seen very, very poor performance in terms of market development for those type of products. One example was Altair, which was developed at 18 gigahertz for the Motorola, and very complex technology, excellent, in fact, excellent technology, good product support, everything, but it didn't sell. Okay, so that's one problem for indoor application. However, if they want to go to other type of application, which is point to point, then 60 gigahertz, 40, 20, that's fine. Because then you don't have the coverage problem. But as you can see, there are, in fact, variety of visions too. This is the plan that the Japanese have for the future. I mean, for development of these high, ultra high speed, in fact, applications. I think at this stage, I would like to just, because my time is almost finished, I would like to go back to this and show you some of the, we want to take that one off the cover. I do some search in my website. Now, so, summary of the lecture is that I just provided you an overview of wireless LAN industry, overview of the visions a variety of people have about wireless LANs, and then I told you about the standards which are evolving, and then I talked about national activities, or let's say multinational activities in the world. And then the next thing is that what type of research people do in wireless LANs. I think the only thing that I can tell you is that I can take you to my own website and tell you about the researches that we are doing so that you don't question. Yes. Excuse me?
Turn off.
So this is my website. I mean, if you go there, you can find a lot of, in fact, information about The best one that I like is this one. If you... Well, welcome. If you start to get Vienna, get Vienna, not only on the Napoli. That's the best part of the website. I think that's my favorite. These are just to tell you about the... Oh, one is about more information. More information, if you come to conferences, workshops, we have this wireless local area network workshop that we had in October. And in here we have proceedings of the conference. In the proceeding of the conference, you have papers about variety of things, which includes wireless LAN products, HyperLAN in more detail, wireless LANs in Japan, then 802.11 wireless LAN draft standard, antenna selection for optimum wireless, and wireless ATM, VLSI and software radios for wireless LAN applications. These are the ones which are available on the web. In the conference, there were more than that. So that's one thing, one source that you can go for, get more material in this line. Okay? Then the other one is, if you want the text of the lecture that we have today, you go to publications, and then you come in here and you type, this one is not for public, just nrccanada.ppt, okay? And that gives you the, it takes a while now to get the lecture. It takes a little while to get the lecture. But then, I don't know, maybe I have to cancel it. But that's the place to go and get the text of this lecture. That's nrccanada.ppt under DIRPUB, under the publications. I think I'd better delete that because it takes a while to get it. I had loaded that somewhere, I don't know where, but now. Then the last thing is that what type of projects, these are typical projects which are in my group, very egocentric. Just my own group research. So that's now, we are developing tools for deployment of wireless LANs. This is one, in fact, particular tool, which is a software that you can feed in the building infrastructure, and it gives you the location of the location for installation of the antennas. So this is one of the projects. I got the building. Let me just go back. Yeah, this is a typical one. This is a typical building. And then the deployment team gives you the coverage in that, in those buildings. So in this particular case, this is the coverage. This is the coverage of this antenna and other things. Now, beyond that, this tool has been developed further with ray tracing algorithm, and it gives you like better coverages. Like, this is the ray tracing software that we have, and gives you like power predictions inside this building. This is the power prediction for inside that building. Now, this has been integrated automatically with our previous, in fact, things. And then our previous software. Then we have like prediction in the microcellular areas. It's a microcellular area. This is the power coverage in that microcellular area. Then you go back to other projects. We are developing benchmarks for wireless LANs. One of the benchmarks that we have developed is like client-server type of application, which is emulating which is emulating telnet, web search, database access, email, and then evaluates the performance of the network based on that, and create some logs, and then you can sketch the performance of the LAN in there. So that's the one that we did for 9X actually. And then we have other projects. Other projects are like wireless LAN testbed that I talked about it with you. I showed you the picture. This is the more writing about the wireless LAN testbed that we have. This is the testbed itself that I showed you earlier. It was one of my overheads, but you have more descriptions of that. Then you have wireless LAN for UMTS. This is for Nokia that we are doing this project. This is development of wideband services for universal mobile telecommunication services, which is third generation standard for the Europe. We are doing real-time channel simulator, multimedia wireless, voice on the TCP/IP networks, traffic engineering, infrared for point-to-point, Prism chipset for 802.11, channel sounder, urban geolection. This is one of the projects in SASO, which we are doing like geolocation in indoor environment for that project. And then, of course, RF propagation in variety of places, including a supermarket. So these are more or less the type of projects that we do as a university. I think as a professor, I have to always refer to some projects, technical projects. Otherwise, I will look very superficial. And then the last but not the least is, these are a bunch of references. Do you want to turn that off? Bunch of references, which are also that's like the top one is the one that I told you will appear in Communication Magazine in November, and then there is a bunch of other papers, and this reference page is also available in the web in order to get these numbers and writings. Set.